Hello, beloved. It's good to be with you, and wonderful to look at the privileges of believers. We are busy with part six, or we're going to do part six, and I hope it's been a blessing to you to just learn what all the privileges are that we as believers have. Before we continue, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your love and your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us. And Father, we pray, please, as we look at the privileges that we have as believers, will you please help us to understand? Help us to take it to heart and enable us to glorify you from a pure heart sanctified by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, last week we looked at the privileges that we as saints have, or we as believers have, the fact that we possess all things, that we have the privilege that all things will work together for good for us, and then also the privilege that we have to have all the promises that God has given us. Now, in this study, with regards to the privileges that we as believers have, you know that we as saints, or we as believers, have quite a variety of things that we are privileged to have from God. For example, we have God as our King. It's a privilege. We have God as our King. Now, you remember that I've preached about Jesus Christ being our King. Now, I want to take it a little bit from an Old Testament perspective, where the Old Testament teaches us that God is our King. Listen to Psalm 5, verse 2, where it says, "Give heed to the voice of my cry." This is the cry of David. Now, he says, "My King and my God, for to you I will pray." Just listen to that declaration. King David, being a king himself, cry out to God when he says to him, give heed to my voice, give heed to my cry, my King. He acknowledges that God is his King. Yes, David is a king, the king of Israel, but God is his King. And obviously, when God is our King, it means that there are certain things that we have to obey him. We have to make sure that we obey his commandments because he is king, right? Just like in a kingdom where you have a king and the king makes the rules and the laws, and then the subjects to the king must follow those rules or laws. Likewise, same thing. God is king, and we have to obey him. We have to do what he says. We are part, or we become part of his kingdom, the day that he saves us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. In Psalm 44 verse 4, we read, "You are my King, O God." And then he says, "Command victories for Jacob." You are my King, O God. You can command victories for Jacob. Obviously, he's speaking about Israel. Eh? Please command victories for the nation of Israel, and it will happen. And why? Because God is King. You are my King. You are our King. Amazing words to just think about the fact that God is our King. Now, that's a major privilege to have God as our King. All right, then Isaiah 44 verse 6 says the following. He says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." Just interestingly enough, besides God, there is no other God. It's not as if God is the highest of all the gods of the earth. No, those who call themselves God are not God at all. There's only one God, and that is the God of the Bible. The God who revealed himself to us through the scriptures. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Creator God. He is the only God. Besides him, there is no other God. All right. But Isaiah says, Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. But I mean, wasn't the kings or David the King of Israel? Yeah, but ultimately it was God. God is the King. He's the King of Israel. And He's also King of every single person who basically are planted into Israel. That's you and I, as Gentiles. We are planted into Tame Israel, which basically then means that God is our King. Yeah? Obviously, Christ is our King because He is, how can I say, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow before Him. Christ Jesus is our King because we've become part of His kingdom. Right, but from an Old Testament perspective, it's so beautiful to hear in the Old Testament how God is declared King. He is King. He's our King. Amazing. It's a privilege to have God as our King. But we also have the privilege that we have God for our glory. And basically what that means is that God is the one who lifts us up. We have God as the one who raises us up. Not only raises us up from the dead, you know, in the last days when the dead in Christ will be raised and meet Jesus Christ in the air. That's not what I'm speaking about. He raises us up. He's the one who uplifts us. Psalm 3 verse 3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That God is a shield for us. He's a protector. Now, He's the one who guards us, who protects us against the arrows that comes our way. But then the psalmist continues to say, "My glory and the one who lifts up my head." So God is the psalmist's glory. Remember what He did with David. Remember what God did with David. What did He do? He took a shepherd boy looking after sheep. And then God took David as a shepherd boy and elevated him to the position of king. And that's why David could announce and proclaim. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." God has always been David's protector. God has been the one who looked after David. And then he says, "You are my glory." Which means God is the one who took David from a shepherd boy and made him a king. What does God do for us as believers, who are believers now? He takes us from being wretched sinners on our way to hell, and He makes us His children. That's what God does for us. So God is our glory. He is the one that we glory in. God is the one who lifts us up, takes us from the miry clay of sin and places us on the hilltops in His presence forever and ever. That's the amazing thing about the God that we worship. God is just absolutely amazing. All right, so He is our glory. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 19 says, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory." This is speaking about the millennium, by the way. This is speaking about a time after the second coming of Jesus Christ when there will be no need for light. There will be no need for a sun. There will be no need for a moon at night, because God will be the light that shines. And once again, how Isaiah declares where God is our glory. Why? Because God is the one who takes us from this world of sin and suffering and pain and sorrow and unrighteousness and lawlessness. God takes us from this wicked, evil world, and He places us in the millennium. Now the kingdom reign of Christ, where righteousness will reign. That's what He does. And in that sense, God is our glory. God is the one who will do it. He's the one who will accomplish it. And that is the amazing thing about God, is the fact that God is the one who uplifts his people. God is the one who takes them from the lowest to the highest place. And please get me don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about prosperity, where you used to drive a little small car and now you're driving a big one, or you used to stay in a small house and now you're staying in a big house. That's not what I'm talking about here. This is not what I believe the scripture speaks about. It is where God lifts up his own. It's like when he took Israel out of Egypt and he took them into the promised land. So it's God who took them, and it's God who lifted them up until he placed them in the promised land, and they took possession of the promised land. In that sense, God is the one who uplifts his people. God is the one who is our glory. God is the one who elevates us from sinners to saints. It is God who takes us from wretched people who are deserving of hell and placed to the point where he puts us into heaven. It gives us a place in heaven. We prepare the place for us, and we are with him forever and ever. That's who God is. That's a privilege that you and I have as believers, beloved. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. But there are another privilege that I think we need to understand with regards to God. We have God for our salvation. Yes, we have Christ in the sense that Christ was the one who died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose up again on the third day according to the scriptures. Then he showed himself alive to many witnesses, and then he ascended into heaven and he will return again. Obviously, in that sense, what Christ did for us on our behalf on the cross of Calvary, that is the thing that was done to make our salvation possible. But it is God who is our salvation. All right? We have, we have God for our salvation. Psalm 18 verse 2 says the following: "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." God is the source of my salvation. God is the one, the Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, before the foundation of the earth. It was decided in the decrees of God that God the Son would be born of a virgin on this earth. God the Holy Spirit will enable God the Son to live the kind of life that is pleasing to God the Father. Within the Trinity, it was already decided before the foundation of the earth who would do what at the end of the day to bring about salvation for people that God chooses to save. And this is why the psalmist could cry out, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my strength. In whom will I trust? In whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Wow, what a declaration of the psalmist, of who God is. Oh, so beautiful. But God is the horn of my salvation. He is the foundation. He's the essence of my salvation. Salvation comes from him. He is the strength of my salvation. He is everything with regards to my salvation is found in God. Yes, Jesus Christ came to this earth. Yes, he died for our sin. But it is because of what God has done. Right, that does not take away the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Nah? Jesus Christ is both human and he is divine at the same time. He's the second person of the Trinity, but it was the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who made it possible that salvation could take place, or that people can actually be saved. And it was through the incarnation that Jesus Christ became flesh. In Psalm 27 verse 1 we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Oh, it's such a timely verse, this, isn't it? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. And because the Lord is my light and my salvation, if God is my light, the light in my life, and He's the one who made it possible for me to be saved, and He is the essence of salvation, and He is the one who established this salvation, the psalmist asks, whom shall I fear? I don't have to fear anyone. I don't have to fear anything. God is my light. God is my salvation. But the psalmist doesn't end there. In Psalm 27 verse 1, he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life, my being, my spiritual life, my physical life, my emotional life, my life in total is strengthened by God. He is the strength of my life. He's the one who gives life in the beginning. The Ruach Yahweh, the breath of God that comes upon people. And it comes into a person, and the person gets the breath of life. That comes from God. But God is also the strength of my life. And then the psalmist says, of whom shall I be afraid? Why should I be afraid of anyone? If God is the strength of my life, if God is the one who keeps me in this life until the time that He decides that I should go, then I don't have to be afraid. Who shall I be afraid of? Who shall I fear? Because the Lord is my light and He's my salvation. Isn't that beautiful? I think it's so beautiful to understand. That's our privilege as a believer in Jesus Christ, that we have God for our salvation. We have God as the one who gives us strength in life. God is the one who is my light. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear anyone. Then Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. This is the last verse we're going to handle for today. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. So beautiful, this prophecy from Isaiah, eh? This prophetic word from Isaiah speaking about God is my salvation. Isn't that true? God is our salvation, beloved. We don't have salvation in ourselves. God is our salvation. He says, I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust in Him completely. I will not be afraid of anyone because I trust in God and in Him alone. He is my strength. He is my song. That's why I can sing praises to Him. I can worship Him in song. I can sing praises to Him in song. I can sing hymns and I can sing other spiritual songs. I can glorify Him every single day. Because He's my salvation. He became my salvation. And because He's become my salvation, and He's the one that establishes it and confirms it and carries me in that salvation. Oh, beloved, it's just absolutely amazing that we have that privilege that God is our salvation. He is our strength. He is our song. We don't have to be afraid of anyone or anything because of the God that we worship, the God that we serve. Oh, it's so beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Right, for today, that's where we're going to end. So we've looked at, we have the privilege that we have God for our salvation. We are privileged to have God for our glory. And we are privileged to have God as our King. Those are the three things that we looked at during this study. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that we can learn the privileges that we have as believers, that we can see it in Your Word and hear about it, and wow, read it and just be amazed at what You have done for us in Christ. Thank You for that, Father. I want to pray in Jesus' precious name. May it be a reality in each one of our lives. May we understand the privileges that we have, and may we live in these privileges. This we pray. And glorify Your name, obviously, in all of this. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. So, until God willing, next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. And may He give you His peace. Until next time, God willing, bye-bye.